This is Matthew Jordan Smith, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 26. Is Nikon buying Samsung's mirrorless technology? In this episode, Nikon may be making a play for Samsung's mirrorless camera technology. A famous Australian landscape photographer is confronted while shooting in public. Adobe Lightroom alternative Capture One Pro 9 is out. Flickr may be sold. And Photoshop CC gets some cool new features. All that and more in episode 26 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Matthew, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it. You've likely seen the work of Matthew Jordan Smith, but just didn't know who shot it. He's photographed the likes of Oprah, Samuel L. Jackson, Tyra Banks, and Jeff Goldblum, to name a few. And he's photographed major ad campaigns for Olay and many others. Yep, Matthew is the real deal. His work is stunning. We're talking top of the food chain amazing. If you'd like to check it out, you can see his work and learn quite a bit from him over at MatthewJordansmith.com. He's also a great guy, one of the nicest I've had the pleasure of talking to, so check him out. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 26 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And we also appreciate you helping spread the word about this podcast. That's great. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. There are some pretty interesting new murmurings in the industry that Nikon either has or will be acquiring Samsung's mirrorless technology. If true, this may just be what Nikon needs to stay not only competitive in the camera business overall, but more importantly, relevant. Mirrorless technology is not a fad. It is definitely here to stay. You know, the hardcore DSLR fanboys talk down the rise of mirrorless, but with so many pros, and I'm talking non-sponsored ones right now, either integrating mirrorless into their work or switching altogether, you have to give it its due. Just look at what Sony has done in the last 18 months or so alone. A staggering amount of cameras and some amazing ones among them. Amazing technology allowing photographers to do what they couldn't easily do before, and everyone is taking note. You know, I love mirrorless technology, and while I'm an admitted mirrorless fanboy, I also admit that the technology isn't quite there just yet. In my mind, unless you see mirrorless on the sidelines at the Super Bowl or the Olympics, it's just not ready for prime time. That's my test. Once they've got that down, they will have put all the pieces in place, I believe, and so things are really going to get real at that point. That said, the public has already taken to mirrorless, more so in Europe and Asia than here in the United States, but it is definitely catching on here as well. As a result, the likes of Canon and Nikon have really taken it on the chin when it comes to sales, as well as public perception. They're starting to look a little old-timey, not having anything serious in the mirrorless arena. So just on perception alone, they have to have something out there that's the real deal. Even if you love your Canon or Nikon DSLR, it's imperative that the big two field a serious mirrorless system rather than concede that market. That is not good. The latter is what they've pretty much done so far. You don't hear any of your other photographer friends say, you know what I really need? A Canon or Nikon mirrorless body. That's what I really need. It doesn't happen. You don't hear those words pass anyone's lips, do you? Nope. So if Nikon has really acquired Samsung's mirrorless technology, or will be soon, that is huge for them. Huge. Many, myself included, have been talking about how it's been looking a little bleak for Nikon in recent years and wondered about their future. You know, some may laugh at the suggestion that Nikon could be an increasingly smaller player or even disappear, but people also said the same thing about the mighty Kodak and Polaroid now, didn't they? It seems inconceivable that Nikon could be a smaller and smaller player in the camera business, but it could very well happen. So making a move in mirrorless would be massive for them. Nikon getting its hands on Samsung's mirrorless technology makes a lot of sense right now if you really think about it. In recent episodes, we've reported on all the markets that Samsung's been pulling out of with regard to its camera business, so that is making more and more sense if the rumor is true. Now, is Nikon going to announce a serious mirrorless system based on Samsung's technology at CES in January 2016? I don't know. It's possible. But I haven't heard anything from the grapevine about that. If it's true, Nikon has certainly kept this close to its vest. And it would be a very, very welcomed announcement. So I'm putting the chances of it being true at about 50-50. It really could go either way at this point. I hope it's true. I've been saying for the longest time that Nikon needs to do something, something significant, and this would definitely be something all right. Personally, I think it makes a lot more sense to develop a mirrorless system based around Nikon's F-mount glass than it is to create a completely different mount. So I think that a new Nikon mirrorless system would have a built-in F-mount adapter to make that work. I haven't looked into the details. I don't know how Samsung's technology would relate to Nikon F-mount. If that's even possible, I don't know. But I think a Nikon F-mount system that's mirrorless would be a killer. All of a sudden, you've got all that glass instantly available to you. That would be huge. Now, Mirrorless Rumors says that they've heard about this alleged deal coming from a trusted Samsung source. So stay tuned. If this is actually true, 2016 is going to be a really compelling year for the camera business. Now, there have already been rumors, and we've reported on them, about Canon making a more serious move in the mirrorless market. So Sony may actually have something to be concerned about now, with the big two both nipping at their heels. We'll see. Competition is great for all of us. Even if you're not into mirrorless yourself, anything that makes your particular camera company stronger is a good thing. Hopefully there'll be an announcement soon. If it's going to happen, I'm thinking it's going to happen at CES. So we'll see. Things are starting to get real now. Parents are apparently naming their babies after Instagram filters. That's all I have. Nothing more needs to be said about it. Next. If Lightroom's slowness has you down, you might want to give Capture One Pro 9 a try, especially since there's a 30-day free trial available. What do you have to lose, right? Okay, you might get on their email list, but besides that, no biggie. The latest version of the popular RAW converter and image editing software not only includes improvements to existing features, it adds a number of new features for both managing and editing your images. They've added a new keyword tool and a keyword library tool for easily adding and removing keywords from images and groups of images, and you can now manage entire lists of keywords in a catalog, as well as being able to import them from other sources. Now, the exposure tool has been revamped with a contrast slider now preserving hue, saturation, and lightness, also known as HSL, in a photo in a much more controlled manner. Mask creation has been redesigned when doing local adjustments, and there's new flow control and airbrush options which allow for the creation of more easily created complex masks. The color editor has been simplified, Luma Curves has been added to the Curve tool palette, so you'll now be able to make contrast adjustments to luminance only and preserve the hue and saturation in your image. That's pretty cool. The rescaling engine has been completely revamped, so you can now resize your images while intelligently preserving the quality and sharpness of your photos, even when you output to smaller sizes. Now, if you're tethering your camera straight into Capture One Pro, you may be happy to hear that there's a new battery status icon, so you're aware of how much juice you have left. That's going to be a helpful feature to a lot of people. A huge new improvement in this version is how the program handles files which have been converted to DNG, something that Adobe has pushed for many years. Capture One Pro 9 will now treat those files as if they were original RAW files from the camera, so that'll result in better colors and results overall. If you're ready to pull the trigger on Capture One Pro 9, you can pick it up for $299 US, or if you have version 7 or 8, you can upgrade for just $99. If you feel like you'd miss the Adobe CC subscription model, should you ditch Lightroom, you'll be happy to know that you can pay monthly for Capture One Pro 9 for $15 a month. Now, it's worth noting that for just $10 a month, you can get Adobe's Creative Cloud photography plan, which includes both Photoshop and Lightroom. That's just $10 a month, as opposed to $15 a month for Capture One Pro 9. But if you want to get a lot more work done and you're finding Lightroom slow, because it is, it might be worth to make the switch to Capture One. Competition is good, and they have a viable option for Lightroom users, most of whom never really use actual Photoshop anymore. So who knows, maybe we'll see this encourage Adobe to make Lightroom faster, or fast, I should say, because it's not fast at all right now. for most of us, I think. I think that's fair to say. And hopefully they'll come out with a better product. Competition is always good. And Capture One Pro 9 seems to be a good option. Oh yeah. Dentists and doctors can now let everyone know that they have a fancy Leica at home without actually having it with them. It might go something like this. Doctor, is that a Leica shutter speed dial on your cuff? Why, yes. Yes, it is. Ooh, fancy. Okay, it might not go like that at all, but you guys get the idea. I give Leica users a lot of crap, but you know what? A lot of them actually take photography seriously. And hey, if you have a ridiculous amount of money and want to pay a lot for your gear, Leica is the go-to brand for that. That and Hasselblad. And if you want luxury lifestyle accessories to go along with that gear, Leica has you hooked up. As we reported on in episode 20, Leica introduced a line consisting of an incredibly pricey lighter, pen, and a keychain. It's 0.95 collection. Probably because when you're done buying them, you'll have all of $0.95 left in your account. It's crazy. Seriously, right? Well, now Leica Russia is in the game, and through a partnership with Russian luxury jewelry brand Markin.lab, the company has available pendants and cufflinks that are faithful replicas of Leica's shutter speed dials. Okay, even if you're not a Leica user, they're still pretty cool, I must admit. They're just really expensive. You know, personally, I would rather buy a lens. But if you're interested in these items, the cufflinks go for approximately $970 US, with the pendant coming in at $520. Yeah, these are items you probably want to get after you've purchased everything on your camera gear wish list. But that's just me. Ken Duncan is one of Australia's most famous landscape photographers, and he's leading the fight for photographers' rights down under after nearly being arrested on Friday, November 27, 2015, after being spotted while shooting on public land. A post the photographer made on Facebook describes how he was shooting at the newly opened Gosford Quarries Reserve in Barangaroo, Sydney, when he was confronted by two rangers and told that he could not take photos there without paying a fee and having a permit. But here's the thing. He was taking photos there without charging anyone, so it wasn't a commercial venture. The rangers understood that, but told him that he was spotted by surveillance cameras taking pictures and that management wanted that to stop. Duncan replied to them with, quote, "Go ahead and make my day, as people need to know how silly this is. It will make a great headline for Barangaroo, an Australian landscape photographer arrested for taking photos. So it's okay for you to video me without my permission, but I'm not allowed to take photos," end quote. Now, according to Duncan, the rangers replied with, quote, "But you have a tripod, so you must be a commercial photographer, so you definitely need to pay and have a permit," end quote. Now, what kind of logic is that? For one, tripod does not equal commercial photographer. It doesn't even equal professional photographer or good photographer or even serious photographer. It just means you own a tripod. And not everyone has steady hands. Thus, a tripod in some cases. A Barangaroo spokesperson told the Sydney Morning Herald in part, quote, "Our staff then phoned the reserve manager who suggested that Mr. Duncan contact Gosford Quarries and asked them to call him to discuss obtaining permission. No such call was received, so the security staff assumed Mr. Duncan did not wish to obtain a permit. He was then asked to stop working until he had obtained a permit. Mr. Duncan and his assistant left the park sometime after," end quote. Now, Sydney's 7 News headed down there to do their own investigation, and their photographer was likewise confronted by authorities. Duncan argues that photographers should be encouraged by the government to take pictures in public places without any fee or permit restrictions, since the photos help to promote places and generate tourism. He writes, quote, "What is it with some bureaucrats? Have they lost all touch with reality? They pay movie makers millions to do pictures in Australia to help promote Australia and then harass landscape photographers. Well, I, for one, am not going to back off on ridiculous or overzealous regulations. Stand up for our freedom as photographers," end quote. Duncan is really fired up over this. He's been writing op-ed pieces on behalf of photographers in Australia, and he published a 3-minute song titled "Bureaucrats, You're Killing Us," complete with video featuring the group Harold and the Thick Shakes. Yeah, I've never heard of them either. Maybe they're famous down under. I don't know. Like I've said before, around the world, the war on photography is a real thing. Harassing photographers seems to be in vogue of late. Well, not in Vogue, the magazine. Oh, you know what I meant. Let's move on and pretend that did not happen. Okay, let's do that. He was apparently on public land, and even so, they wanted him to pay up. Fine, whatever. Many places require permits to shoot on public land, but he says he wasn't even there shooting commercially. He wasn't charging anyone. So either he was or he wasn't. And if he wasn't, why tell him that he needs to pay for a permit? Just because he has a tripod? Come on. You know, I really miss the good old days when you could set up your tripod, shoot all darn day, and no one would harass you. Now, you may have people engaging you in conversation about photography, but that was okay. It's what we love to do, right? Is Yahoo getting ready to sell off Flickr and its core internet businesses? Well, the Wall Street Journal reports that Yahoo's board has a series of meetings scheduled for this week to talk about the possibility of selling off its, quote, gaggle of web properties, end quote. Now, back in 2008, Microsoft tried to acquire Yahoo, and thus Flickr, for $44.6 billion. That is a lot of money. But that deal fell through. I don't know, maybe Yahoo thought they were worth a lot more than that, but that is a serious chunk of change. Now, who knows who'd be interested in buying these properties now and what they'd do with it, but hopefully we'll find out soon, and if we do, we'll let you know, so stay tuned. If you're an Adobe Photoshop CC user, you've got some cool new things to play with now. In the latest update of the popular image editing software, there's the new custom toolbar editing feature that we got a sneak peek at last month, as well as a new touch interface and other cool new features and improvements. There's a new start screen which shows you the recent files you've worked on and a number of new presets for creating new documents. Now, that may not sound super exciting, but hey, anything that's a time saver is definitely welcomed. Of this update, Adobe says, quote, "You've been asking for toolbar customization for years, and today that dream comes true," end quote. You know, I'm surprised that they would call attention to the fact that users have been asking for this feature for years, and they're just now adding it. Adobe, I tell ya. Sigh. That's right, I said sigh. I didn't actually sigh. It's okay. If you're a Surface Pro user, you'll enjoy the, quote, "larger tab targets, the ability to swipe to scrub undo, redo, and history, two-finger scroll lists, five-finger tap for full screen, a larger preset option, and easy access to soft keys for command, option, shift, and more," end quote. So if you use your finger or a stylus with Photoshop on a touch device, these are definitely going to be welcome, helpful features. Now, if you're a Photoshop CC user, all you have to do is update to the latest version and you're good to go. That's the benefit of subscribing to Adobe's Creative Cloud subscription service. Your bank account might not appreciate it, but hey. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 26 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show, or you can give us a call at area code 206-333-9308. I'd love to answer your questions here on the show, but everyone seems to be shy. And if you are, go ahead and email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 27. Well, it's F8 and 250 the per second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.